Ask the Doctor is brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare.
Everybody, and welcome to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. My name is Tim Tompkins. I have Dr. Hakeem here in the studio with me, an orthopedic surgeon at St. Vincent's. And as always, we are here to answer your health questions, more so the doctor. I'm just a radio host. The phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Again, that is 340-1045. Doctor, how are you today?
Very good, thank you.
So can you talk me a little bit, tell me about a day in the life as an orthopedic surgeon such as yourself over at St. Vincent's. What's that look like?
Well, first thing, my schedule starts with clinics at the office. Start seeing patients, and usually by that time we know, as being the trauma specialist in my group, Southeast Orthopedic Specialist, we get the lineup for surgeries, emergencies that came overnight or during in the morning. And following the clinic, I go to the hospital and start doing the cases and the fractures that came overnight. My schedule can include fractures as much as elective cases that I scheduled, including joint replacements and sports medicine.
And Dr. Hakeem, what made you want to get into this type of care?
Well, that's way it goes very long way. Since I was probably a kid, I knew that's what I wanted to do. And I kept my promise for myself.
Yeah, and that's important, right?
Very important.
And phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. You're listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. It is brought to you by St. Vincent's Healthcare. And we're here to talk about a new program that St. Vincent's has introduced, and that's really to increase the speed and the recovery time, maybe most importantly for the patients who have suffered from a fracture. And before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about what exactly is a fracture? What makes a fracture different than just a bone breakage? Are all fractures the same? So I guess we'll just get started. What exactly is a fracture?
So a fracture is, people actually confuse fracture and broken bone. And so it's the same thing. When the bone breaks, it is a fracture. There's closed fractures, which can take time before you treat, because usually they're not that of an emergency. And there is open fractures, which are we call the compound fractures, which is usually a fracture that you need to treat within certain time before there will be consequences like infection or other consequences.
Yeah, I think when you say compound fracture, that when a lot of people think fractures, that's the in their head what it is. But a fracture can be as small as something as a hairline fracture on one of the bones in your feet, right?
Correct. So there is hairline fractures. There is stress fracture that sometimes do not show after an injury, but it's a small repetitive trauma to the body.
Common with a lot of athletes.
Exactly, like runners are very prone to stress fractures, and these do not happen with one incident.
And the phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. I was reading, and you were just saying that those are stress related fractures, to where it's just a lot of basketball players, and you mentioned runners, but a lot of basketball players really get those. But I guess fractures aren't limited just athletes, right? I mean, people, I was reading that the average person will suffer from two fractures within their lifetime.
Correct. And again, it's not only athletes who gets the stress fractures. Any type of activity that you start without, a strong way before you gradually increase the amount of training and time spent for this activity can lead to a stress fracture by overuses for a bone or a body that is not used to this type of activity in itself.
Any tips for people that for avoiding those?
Of course. I mean, I'm going to take just an example for marathon runners, especially the one running the marathon for the first time. There is definitely programs to follow where they start you with a very short distance of running and you increase over. And there is program for 16, 20, 24 weeks and or different to get your body to get used to the impact when you run of from your feet to your knees and your lower back. So that impact should be gradually trained for so you don't get any injury like the stress fractures.
So you shouldn't just start out by running 5 miles?
I would not recommend that.
Okay. Well, have recovery from stress fractures.
Unfortunately, stress fracture recovers slower than regular fractures. And recovery can take 3 to 6 months. Where a regular fracture that, let's say, you slip off a skateboard, you break your ankle, usually within 3 months, you're back running again between 3 to 4 months, let's say. But for stress fracture, the amount being down is usually anywhere from 4 to 6 months at least, and can go up to a year sometime.
That's a really long time. And, doctor, I'm really happy you brought that up, because I mean, that half a year for recovery time. And that's partially what we're here to talk about, is the new program that St. Vincent's has introduced to really cut down on the recovery time. And tell me a bit about the program.
Well, there's been different studies showing that fractures, and especially I'm talking about fractures in the elderly, that are treated within 12 to 24 hours have a better outcome from less death rate, because we know that there is always relatively about 15 to 20% of deaths within the first year after a hip fracture. Less bed sores from being laying down for a long time, less urinary tract infections for same reason. So these studies kind of pushed us to try to do these fractures and fix those fractures within the 12 to 24 hours window. And to do that, most of the hospitals are not equipped for this, which I'm going to explain. Normally, community hospital fractures comes in, the patient has to go through clearance, sometimes to be seen by the internist, every now and then a cardiologist, to get an operating time available, to get the personnel available, and the surgeon available. These can take 24 to 48 hours in most of the hospitals. So what we did at St. Vincent is to create a centralized treatment of all the fractures in one place, which is St. Vincent Southside. Any fracture that comes, there is an internist that is available right at the time of the injury to see the patient. I am available every day to be ready to start any surgery early in the morning and before noon usually, and all the way to the evening. And if we need assistance from a cardiologist to see the patient, they are available too. So we did cut down the time. Actually, for most of the time, we're going less than 12 hours before the surgery is done.
I mean, that's phenomenal. And compared, you're just saying some of the other hospitals can be upwards of 2-3 days before they see somebody.
Absolutely.
And phone lines are open. I have Dr. Hakeem here in the studio with me. He is an orthopedic surgeon over at St. Vincent's. 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. And, you know, we're here talking about this new program that St. Vincent's introduced this year that treats fractures more effectively and faster. How does the consolidation of resources lead to getting getting the patient to the next level of care faster. And by the next level, I mean out of the hospital and into recovery time.
Well, most of the time, once the surgery is done, we need to observe the patient for about 48 hours. So if the patient has been in the hospital already for 48 hours or 72 hours, that's already 5 days for the patient in the hospital. And the key here is to leave the patient the least amount of time in the hospital. So by doing the surgery as early as 12 to 24 hours, I mean, our patients are spending 48 or 72 hours in the hospital and then going either home or to rehab facilities, which is reducing, which studies have shown that this will reduce the risk of pneumonia, of blood clots.
And blood clots are scary, too.
Absolutely. I mean, patient laying down for 48 hours, this is a high risk of developing a blood clot. So that risk is being diminished by doing those surgery pretty quickly.
Does the average person have a reason to worry about blood clots?
I mean, there is factors that increase the risk of blood clots. Some are genetic, like some factors in the blood system that make you make blood clots more than the average population. The inactivity, being laying down, is one. Depend on how bad was the injury to the lower extremity, that increased the blood clot. So there is many factors that do increase, and we have to recognize these factors. And of course, our medical team is here to do that and part of their jobs.
All right. Well, again, the show is all about you, and it looks like those phone lines have lit up, and we really appreciate you guys. We'd love to hear your voice. Let's go ahead and go straight to the phone lines. We have Sandy over in Mandarin. Sandy, what's on your mind?
Hey, I have a question for Doctor. I'm in my early 40s, and I play soccer almost every weekend, and sometimes I get the ache in my big toe around area, my right foot, but then it goes away after a day or two. But just I always wonder if I'm causing myself long-term damage by continuing to play. What are your thoughts, Doctor?
Yes, Sandy, we do see usually there is early forms of arthritis that many athletes do have, or not necessarily athletes, people that are really busy on their feet, I'm going to say. These are small forms of arthritis that at the time of the sports activity will hurt and usually last a day or two. I will not ask my patients to stop doing any activities. I tell them just go ahead, do the activity. But what I do recommend is, since in your case it's in the feet, to change different shoes, and I recommend usually to have our support for all the athletes, whether it's a soccer activity, basketball activity, or a running activity. That alone should help you a lot with the amount of pain, and probably you will not have any pain after that. The other thing would be to, if you really know that after any of these practices you have pain, I will take a couple of Motrins before, like 30 minutes or an hour before. And once you're done, elevate and ice, and usually it's very helpful.
Okay. But there's not a risk of any long-term damage. Like I said, you always wonder if I get hurt or whatnot in 40s and if I run the risk of any long-term damage.
There is always. I mean, that's the price, in my opinion, to pay for, doing the hobby you like. And there is always injury, and repetitive injuries can always lead to some type of minor arthritis. But usually it's not anything that I would change. I mean, in your daily life, I will not change that to avoid long-term injury. These are usually long-term injury. We're talking like 10, 20 years down the road, you might have arthritis in your feet. The question would be, would you stop playing soccer right now so to avoid having arthritis in 20 years?
Thank you. That helps a lot.
Sure.
Hey, thanks so much for that phone call, Sandy. We really do appreciate you. And it looks like we had somebody on the line, Cliff, but Cliff, we lost you for whatever reason. If you want to go ahead and call back, 904-340-1045. I promise we'll get to you your call before the end of the show. We do have another call. We have Rachel over in Jacksonville right now. And let's go ahead and take an early break because I want to make sure we have as much time as possible when we come back so we can answer your questions. So, Rachel, stay with us. As soon as we get back from this break, we'll go to you. Right, you are listening to Ask the Doctor right here, News 104.5 WOKV. And welcome back to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. It is brought to you each and every week at 2 o'clock on Saturdays by St. Vincent's. My name is Tim Tompkins. I have Dr. Hakeem here in the studio with me, and he is an orthopedic surgeon at St. Vincent's. And let's go ahead and go straight to the phone lines because, Rachel, you have been waiting so very patiently. Rachel, what's on your mind?
Thanks for having me on, Dr. Hakeem. A couple questions for you. I had a knee injury about 15 years ago. And I was at my regular weight, and then I had children and put on some weight. And I had been advised by one of the doctors to not start running again. I love running until I was within 20 pounds of my goal weight. But I'm about 60 right now. And I was wondering your thoughts on if you thought maybe with palliative care, icing before and after, if I needed to wait till that 20 pound mark from my goal weight, or if I could, you know, gradually start, you know, kicking into some, you know, serious cardio. Walking your way is walking the pounds off takes forever, as we all know. And I'd really love to get back running again. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were.
Yeah, good questions. We face this a lot. For example, I get patients that are overweight that needs a knee replacement, and everybody tells them go lose some weight first and then come back, we'll replace your knee. And sometimes the patient, if the knee is not working, they cannot do the activity and lose weight. So, for me, if I were you, I would just start running and see what happens, of course, in a gradual fashion. If you don't have any issue with your knees, when you're running, then I don't think there will be any issue at all. Plus, as I mentioned earlier, the shoes are really important. I would definitely get the shoes from a specialized running place where they can look at your feet, make sure you're not in pronation or supination, and give you the correct shoes for you, because that will be very important on how the force go through the knee. Start with the feet and then transmit to the knee. And if there is any slight variation in the way your foot strike the ground, that's going to impact the force going in your knee, and instead of being balanced in the middle.
So right.
I will start doing that. In my opinion, starting to run, if there is no issues, then you don't have to worry. Just continue with the program you want to do for your running. You can add to this, of course, alternate activity that do not involve impact on your legs, like swimming, cycling, stationary bikes, elliptical. All these are great activity if you want to help shed the weight too.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. I do have pain when I run in my right knee, but it's not, you know, with stretching, it does go away when I'm done running. And sometimes I won't have it, but, you know, I was told at one point, if you have pain, stop, that's bad. But I didn't know, since it is already injured and I'm going to be, you know, stuck with this injury for life, if it doesn't get really, really bad and it's just kind of, push through type thing, you still think I'm good enough to go just to kind of work my way back up into it a little bit?
Yeah, well, here's what I suggest. Since you have pain when you run, I would suggest first that you get evaluated first, have at least an X-ray and maybe an MRI to assess if there is any cartilage damage or ligament instability. So if you have, let's say, an ACL, chronic ACL tear, which is an ACL that's been probably of long time and not be treated, that can be a problem with running, and then we usually recommend non-impact support for that. So since you have the pain, for me, that would be the next move. Get evaluated, at least if you haven't been evaluated lately, with an X-ray and maybe an MRI, and before you cause any further damage.
And with that, Rachel, I hope that we answered all your questions. But we are coming up on a hard break right now. We have news, traffic, and weather coming up next. Dr. Hakeem here in the studio with me. You were listening to Ask the Doctor. It is brought to you by St. Vincent's every Saturday at 2, 904-340-1045. If you want to call in, we'd love to hear your voice. And as always, this show is brought to you by St. Vincent's, and it's every single Saturday at 2 o'clock right here on News 104.5 WOKV. I have Dr. Hakeem here in the studio with me. He's an orthopedic surgeon, and this show is all about you. We'd love to hear your voice. We'd love to take your calls. The phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. Let's go straight to the phones. Maury over in St. Augustine. Maury, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have two questions. The first question is, how do you feel as a physician that the nurse-patient ratio, the average nurse-patient ratio, which on an orthopedic floor is anywhere from 6 patients to 1 nurse to 8 patients to 1 nurse, affects the pain control and the probable outcome of orthopedic surgery? And is it something you notice as a physician?
To tell you the truth, I'm not aware of the ratio of the nurse to patient ratio. Actually, I don't have any information on that. Of course, I agree that the higher the ratio of nurse to patient, the better the care. But again, I'm not familiar with the rate going on right now.
Well, and I would like to encourage you to do some investigating with the professional organizations for orthopedic nurses and what their recommendations are for nurse pair ratio, nurse patient ratio, especially associated to outcome, length of stay, and pain control.
I sure will. Thank you for the suggestion.
Yeah, and thank you so much for the phone call. We do appreciate that. Now let's go over to Phil. Phil over in Duval, how you doing today? Phil?
Can you hear me?
I can now. What's up, buddy?
I have a question for the doctor. In 2014, I shattered my tibial plateau very badly. I've done all of my recovery, and for a long time I was doing really well, but I've gone back into the workforce now, and I'm on my feet a lot more, and I'm finding out almost a debilitating pain several days after I work. And I want to know if that's normal and if that's something I can look forward to for the rest of my days.
Okay. Phil, can I ask you how old are you?
I'm 47.
Tibial plateau fractures actually is one of the, we call them the bad ones. And the reason is it involves the joint, the knee joint, as you know. Usually, not only the fracture happens, but there is always damage to the cartilage, whether it's the meniscus or which is that cushion between the two bones, the tibia and the femur, or the cartilage that covers the bone itself. So these fractures are prone to develop arthritis. And all depends on the original injury and how well the fracture was fixed. Altogether, basically, decide on the prognosis of the fracture. So since I don't have an X-ray or anything to tell you, all I can say is these are known to be fractures that end up with arthritis. So what you're seeing after 2 years is probably happening. So there is some arthritis happening. If you haven't seen your physician lately, I would recommend that you will follow up for a visit with your physician, at least have an X-ray, see where you at, and sometimes it's probably a meniscus tear. So you might be doing well and not really in, and you don't have the arthritis, a severe case of arthritis, and you might have just a torn cartilage, which is the meniscus, as you know. And that can be fixed with an easy procedure in outpatient that takes 10 minutes.
Okay. I have an upcoming appointment, but my pain is not just in my knee. I have a little bit in my knee from time to time, but I have more of it seems to be in my ankle. And I didn't injure my ankle, at least nothing showed up at the time of the accident.
A lot of time the injury happens to the whole leg, and it's the first bone to give out, which is in your case the tibial plateau. But there is a lot of time a twisting injury that happens, which starts from the foot to the ankle, goes all the way up to the knee and involves the bone. So if there was no fracture, it doesn't mean that there was no injury at that time. A lot of time, the major injury take over and mask the other injury in your body. And in your case, I'm sure the tibial plateau was the major injury. And being on pain medication, a little pain in the ankle, probably you didn't notice it. But it could have been happened at the same time.
Well, thank you so much, doctor.
Sure.
And thank you for the phone call, Phil. We really do appreciate you. So we've been spending the majority of the program talking about fractures. And what are some signs that you have one?
A fracture. Well, most of the time it's evident. I mean, swelling, pain immediately after, or not necessarily immediately, but most of them are immediate after the injury. Change of color, discoloration, bruises. I mean, these are main signs of a fracture. The most common one I'm thinking about is feet, hand, ankles. Usually if it's a fracture and then bigger bones like a tibia, a knee, a femur, arm, usually they're noticeable and you cannot miss that, but ankles sometimes can be delayed. Shoulder sometimes can be delayed.
And does a patient need to see a doctor every time they have a fracture?
I do recommend that the patient see the doctor every time they have a fracture. Absolutely.
And you're listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. I have Dr. Hakeem here in the studio with me. And those phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. And we've been spending part of the show talking about the new program over at St. Vincent's, which is really about speeding up the medical care for the patient with the fracture, getting them to see the doctors earlier. And, you know, it seems like that's sort of the main bedrock of this program. Does getting it treated quicker, thereby starting the recovery process quicker, but how exactly does that happen for the patient?
Well, part of the EOP, which is Emergency Orthopedic Program that we have started with St. Vincent and our group, Southeast Orthopedic Specialist, is the treatment, the prompt treatment of the fracture, whether it's an inpatient fracture like the hips and the knees and the ankles we spoke about, or the outpatient. So most of the fracture do not need to be treated in a hospital setting and can be treated either in an outpatient facility or in a hospital, but not necessarily the day to admit the patient to have it. And our program in particular, we have available physicians and orthopedic surgeons in our group, including me, that will promptly see the patient within a day or two or three at max to start the treatment as soon as possible. And we know that the fracture that is treated early has the best chance to heal. If you leave the fracture, let's say, for 2 or 3 weeks, there is already some healing happening, and the repair is not as easy usually. These fractures, we see them in the office. Some need surgery, some do not. Some just need a cast or a splint. And that's part of the program that we are providing right now.
So it sounds like a lot of this, is, as compared to other programs, for example, is instead of fitting the patient into your schedule, that the doctors fit the patient into the patient's schedule instead.
Absolutely. Very well said.
And so, you know, a lot of this has to do, and you kind of touched on this before, is keeping the patient out of bed rest up to the surgery, if that's required. And why is that so important?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, so somebody's waiting for surgery. They're you know, laid up in bed for 3 or 4 days waiting to see a doctor. And part of this program is making sure they don't have to sit there and just wait. And how does that positively impact the patient, that they can cut down on that bed rest time? What are they avoiding?
Yeah, I mean, there is first cost. I mean, by being in the hospital for extra 2 or 3 days, this is cost involved. Medication, there is again all the benefit from having the surgery early and avoiding the side effects and the complication of laying in bed that include pneumonia, blood clots, bed sores, urinary tract infection. So all these impact have a huge impact on the well-being of the patient and the fastest recovery of the patient.
And so this is live radio, and for some reason my call screener isn't telling me who's on the line, but I can see that somebody's there. So I'm going to go ahead and try and – no, actually, I'm going to thank goodness that I have a wonderful producer in Carlton who's waving me off from that idea. That could have been bad. But moving along, again, phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Open reduction versus closed reduction. Can you explain what that means exactly?
Yeah. Open reduction means pretty much we have to do a surgery and cut the skin to be able to fix the fracture. Closed reduction is a procedure that you do not have to cut the skin. Let's say I manipulate a fracture in a way that is showing on the x-ray that is lining up adequately. Then all we have to do is put in a brace or in a cast or in a splint to maintain that reduction and follow up, of course, with multiple visits and make sure it's not moving. And if we're happy with that, the fracture is going to heal. Some fracture will not heal by just manipulating or by leaving alone. And then we have to intervene surgically, which is doing a surgery. When we do a surgery and we open, that's an open reduction. And when we put hardware, plate, screws, or implant, this is internal fixation. So open reduction, internal fixation is when we do a surgery and put hardware.
Dr. Akeem, are you familiar with hip injections at all?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and take a question from Wayne. Wayne, you are live on Ask the Doctor.
Thank you. But, Doc, I've got to go to the VA hospital in Gainesville for a hip injection. And they say it's a deep joint injection, so I have to be under x-ray or something. It sounds like a torture to me, but can you tell me what's going to happen?
Yes. Hip injection, the fact that the hip is a deep joint and there is many structures to get to the joint, including nerves and vessels and arteries. We do recommend two techniques to do a hip injection. One is under fluoroscopy, which is an x-ray, and the second one can be done with an ultrasound. Now, as much as it sounds like a torture, actually is not that bad. First, most of the doctors doing this technique will numb the skin for you and slightly deeper in the subcutaneous area deep in the below the injection site. And then they go with the injection under X-ray control or ultrasound control till they see that the needle is in the hip joint. And this is where they inject the product, whether it's a dye or steroids, depending, or just a numbing medication as a test. So it's not that bad, and you shouldn't be that worried about it.
Yeah, they said it's going to be under an X-ray.
Yeah. So that's one of the techniques I mentioned, absolutely. And yes, this is how it's done, and usually it's not bad at all.
Okay. Well, Doc, I sure appreciate your information.
Sure. Hey. No problem.
Thanks so much for that phone call.
You'll get it for me.
We'll work on it. Thanks so much, Wayne. We appreciate the call. And again, those phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Dr. Hakeem, can you tell me a little bit about your practice, how people can get a hold of you?
Yeah, I can be reached at Southeast Orthopedic Specialist, and the phone number, there is actually a number just for the trauma and everything that involves trauma, which is 904-394-BONE, B-O-N-E. And there is the main number, which is 904-634-0640, Southeast Orthopedic Specialist. As I said, we try to fit every patient, whether with a trauma or without trauma, since I still practice my elective orthopedic practice involving joint replacement and sports medicine. But we do give a great attention for the trauma and the fracture and get them early as soon as possible.
Southeast Orthopedic Specialists, I believe that you guys have 14 fellowship-trained doctors specialized on the human body to help make patients get up and feeling better again.
Correct.
I read that script roughly 30 times a week. So, well, we have to go ahead and go to a break. We do have a little bit of time coming up, though. Looks like we do have a phone call that we will get to. You are listening to Ask the Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. It's brought to you by St. Vincent. Stay with us. Dr. Hakeem coming up next. The Doctor right here on News 104.5 WOKV. My name is Tim Tompkins, if I could talk today. Dr. Hakeem here in the studio with me. It's brought to you by St. Vincent's. As always, a little bit of time left. Let's go over to Anne over on the south side. Anne, what's on your mind?
About 4 years ago, I had sort of an accident, I guess, that injured my back, and testing indicated stenosis, and we went through some spinal injections. That didn't work. Finally, had back surgery. Since that time, I have not regained any feeling in one foot and the side of my leg. This numbness prevents me from walking well, and also it feels like I'm sort of dropping the foot. Is there anything that can be done to correct that?
Yeah, and again, although this is not in the field of my practice, whenever there is any beginning of drop foot and problem with sensation, this is something that I usually recommend the patient to go back to their spine surgeon, whether an orthopedic surgeon or a neurosurgeon, a spine specialist, and to verify with them. There is many things that can happen, especially if this is something that is gradually happening, that there is something to be done versus something that was there 2 years ago, never recovered. At this point, we're a little bit late in the game. But right now, the way you're describing is starting to happen, and I think there is definitely a need to go see your spine surgeon, not as like an emergency, but kind of soon.
I understand. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Hey, thanks so much for that phone call. We had another caller that called in, said that they've had shin splints for years. They stopped working out for months, and when they continued to work out again, they still have the pain from the shin splints. Can that be permanent?
Yeah, this is a very common question that comes. Shin splints, unfortunately, are related to imbalance in the way your foot strike the ground, and that's where the shoes are extremely important. The first thing I do for a patient that comes to see me for shin splints is make sure that they go to be fitted with a specialized clinic or sports shops that can really look on the form of the foot and which direction goes the foot, and we call it pronators or supinators, and get the adequate shoe that goes with it, or add an insert to the shoe. If this is still happening, I usually recommend doing a couple exams, whether it's an MRI or something we call a bone scan, to make sure we're not developing a stress fracture. And sometimes the differentiation between shin splint and stress fracture can be difficult, actually. And at this point, if it's been going on for months or even a year, I think you need to be evaluated for stress fracture by having an MRI done first and treat the stress fracture. And if it's not, then I will keep changing shoes till I find the right shoe.
So if you were talking to Bradley Beal right now, would you suggest to him that he should probably start changing his shoes? Dude just keeps having stress fracture after stress fracture.